It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 25th day of September 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza. It is The Horn chat room in 3 hours in which this program is live Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All time zones in between and the great globe round. And whatever time it is you when you listen to the podcast, and whether you listen live or listen to the podcast, let me thank you again. And on behalf of the entire community, thank you. Community, thank yourself. Give yourselves a hand for being part of this ongoing conversation that's been almost 20 years in the making. Hi, I'm Robin, and it is Moran Monday. We have Morans, as we always do. If you are listening live, I encourage you to pop by the aforementioned Mary Lackey Zaney, etc., and say hi to the early arrivers. That would be Too Much Hutch and Ralphs and Squeaky and Theo, all just waiting for you. And if you've never been there before, it's a merry little conversation that bounces back and forth, and you're mighty welcome to participate. And if you're listening to the podcast, pretty please. Like each episode, subscribe so you'll be notified for each and every one. Leave a comment, and tell your friends and neighbors, because that's how we spread the good news. Here we are. Moran Monday, the last week of September. A week from today will be the first broadcast of, wow, October. Amazing, huh? And, fall has come in like fall. And I was reading earlier today about what the El Nino system will mean here. And I guess it's going to be somewhere between drier to normal is just a setting on a dryer. It's hard to say. But I'm getting ahead of myself, because every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is no different. And so as a consequence, we say thank you to our 25th, 24th, and 23rd of the month subscribers, plus some folks who jumped in to help get us down below. When last we spoke, we were in a $1,500 hole. And that improved significantly. So thank you to Mark, and thank you to Peter. Thanks so kindly to Samson and Josh. I know your name's not Samson, but that's how it shows up. And to our buddy Dave at Mellow Moonlit Meadow, our Latin scholar, and thank you to Lou in PA. Thank you all so much for being part of the funding of this program, and special thanks go out to an anonymous friend who took us from $1,500 down to $1,000, made some bill paying possible. And thanks as well, previously, yes, Samson jumped in, and Josh jumped in, and they got it. So we are down below $1,000 in the hole. Well, I mean, not really, because today. But let's see, that took us down to 900. So we're at 1285. Now, this is a really special week. Larry in Liberalville wrote in on Friday and absolutely blew my mind. I read it all out on air, and I cannot thank you enough, Larry. It's fantastic. So, Larry is going to cover $200, or match, not cover, but match. Every day this week that we raise $200, Larry's going to match it. It's a little complicated, Larry says, but I know you like to cipher. Oh, I do. So if we can knock down $200 a month, or a month, no, please, Robin. If we can knock down $200 an evening, we can finish the month of September fully funded for the first time since April. And that's profound, and it's important. So there we go. Thank you, Larry in Liberalville. Thank you so very much. And remember, there's a bonus over the $200 mark, a 10% bonus. So that gets, and that's fantastic. It's the best chance we've had to finish flush in a long time, and it all begins with raising $200 this evening, which is much easier than raising three, I hope. Let me see here. Check in on a couple of other emails. Okie doke. And Mark and Peter jumped in today, as noted. And so that means we've got $180 to go on Larry's challenge. Hold on here. Let me just... Major snark challenge as well. If somebody would like to jump in with $10, who maybe might be philosophically inclined in the same way. Major snark challenge here. Steve in New York, a $10 challenge in honor of Notre Dame screwing up and only having 10 men on the field on the final two plays when Ohio State beat them. Oh, and fuck Lou Holtz. I didn't think Lou Holtz could get any more odious. But by God, Saturday he did. We're not going to get lost in we're not going to get lost in sports talk. This isn't sports talk. This is just let a game be a game, and not some repulsive everything. Easy, Robin, breathe. But yes, I agree. Fuck Lou Holtz. So if somebody would like to agree with that, that'll get us down to 160 to go. And an anonymous friend said, I'll get you started with $50. So that gets us down to 180. 130 if Steve's challenge is met. Well, that constitutes meeting Steve's challenge, I think. So 180, 130. 120 to go to get us started. And thank you, Ralphs. There is a challenge involved here, and I can't for the life of me find it. Resend me that, please, Ralphs, if you don't mind. And I wanted to share something with you because, well, we're talking about our community members here. And, you know, a lot of us are going through a lot of stuff. It's been a rough few months for this community. I just got a note that said, "Dear Robin, I'm so glad you discovered who you are. I knew since I was 5 that I wasn't who I was. I've been diagnosed with bladder cancer and a crummy gallbladder. My heart skips a beat or two or three and take more drugs than ever. Due to the ever-increasing prices charged by the drug companies, I must withdraw support for the program. We had a good run, and I'll forever hold you dear in my heart. Fear not, I shall continue to listen to HeadOn.live. Love to all." Love to all. And that's from Harold. Signed, Harold, Head Dude, Sotstress, the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Harold, I want you to be okay. That's what matters, and I know that's what matters to the community. This merry little band that we have here. And I'm glad to know that you will be still listening, because by God, I've enjoyed all our communications, and I hope that interactions, and you know, I hope they, even through the trials and slings and arrows, I hope that you get some degree of pleasure, comfort, laughter, occasional urges to just scream, because God knows I recognize those. And yeah, that not knowing you since 5, yeah, that's about where it was for me. So, Harold, we'll keep you in our hearts and hope for better and better and better. Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Harold. And focus on being well. I know what those heart skipping a beat things are like, because one of the medications I was on for a while had made me have preventricular contractions. PVCs, which is not the same thing as the kind of plumbing. And they're scary as hell. Boom, boom, boom. Kind of sounds like me missing a step on the stairs. And they're frightening. So focus, Harold. And keep everything going at the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ralphs. There was no challenge. I contributed for the heck of it. We're down to $95. $95, and Larry in Liberalville's first leg of the challenge is met. And once again, Steve in New York says, F. Lou Holtz. I don't think you can say that enough, personally. So, it's Moran Monday. Yeah, we got the tent set up. There was a little bit of drizzle. And then we brought the Morans out of the transport wagons and set them up in their cages behind the thin cybernetic veil of canvas. They're still grabby. Be careful. You wouldn't. I saw them get hold of one of those precious little iguanas that somebody once won throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls, and it was terrible. Horrible, awful. Just the crunching alone. Oh, they were at dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. And it's not very often on Moran Monday that we've got someone ostensibly on our side to lead off Moran Monday. And thank you, Christopher. Oh, Christopher, thank you so much. Quick start to Larry's fantastic challenge. Thank you, Larry, says Christopher. $95. We're $95 away. Thank you, Christopher. But like I said, and who we are talking about here, and look, I don't want to piss anybody off, but this is, you know, I try not to self-censor. And here it is. John in Central PA first made me aware of this. And it was one of those Jean-Luc Picard with his head in his hands kind of moment. Oh, not this shit again. But I guess David Ignatius wasn't enough. And honestly, this thing triggered me. Because well, one of the morans did try to eat the little baby iguana whole, but the tail snapped off, so it had to take it in two bites. It was terrible, Ralphs. Have you ever heard an iguana scream? Not pretty. Bad enough when they freeze and when they get a hard freeze down in South Florida and fall out of the trees and the little tail breaks off. It's heartbreaking. By the way, speaking of South Florida, Scary Jerry told us on Friday that he's been having some cardiac issues. And I just wanted to send a word out to say, you know, dude, keep getting better. Please. Pretty please. My God, the night of the coverage of Nitwit Nero's arrival for his booking in Fulton County with Scary Jerry doing Florida Man on the Street interviews. That was for the ages. So, get well, Scary Jerry. Now, like I said, this thing triggered me. And if John in Central PA is listening live right now, he knows about what I'm about to do. And it triggered me because it was shades of the great purity wars of 2016. And apparently there is some people have a vested interest in getting that going. It must have been, as the late, great Prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, said, a good dollar. And I'm not, again, if you're a fan, cool. But I'm not going to let this shit just be, and maybe it's a mistake to even draw attention to it. But here we go. Cenk Uygur. Young Turks. He's one of those I used to be a Republican until I saw the light types. But you kind of wonder about the sincerity of all that when he's willing to go out there and do their work for them. And so here we go. Opinion, published at Newsweek, of course, which is a complete and utter birdcage liner now. To the extent that it even exists in print form. I don't think it does. Mr. President, you're going to lose to Trump. We're begging you to step down. Oh, my. Cenk Uygur, super genius. And he bills himself as a progressive. It always has. But then winds up taking positions that are decidedly, you know, not. And so what we get here is clickbait. That's all it is clickbait. I can't imagine who it is at. Who it is that at Newsweek that thought this would be what? But Newsweek has become a right wing birdcage liner. Like I said, it's week and a half old mackerel wrapper. Okay. And given that Cenk tends to think that he's one of those folks that thinks that, you know, history began on his birthday. So maybe he doesn't remember what happened when the incumbent bailed in 1968. there was no problem with LBJ running for his own second term in office. What was a problem was the fact that LBJ had been rat-fucked by Richard Nixon in his attempt to end the Vietnam War conflict, whatever, police action. And 1967 had been horrid, and 1968 was not looking any better. There was profound unrest in the country. And LBJ just decided he wasn't going to run. You know, people were walking around with placards, people older than myself who were young adults then, but probably remember them, buttons and signs that said ABJ for president, anybody but Johnson. Y'all got him! And his name was Richard Pinhead Milhouse Nixon. Because then there was a mad scrum between Eugene McCarthy, Bobby Kennedy, and Hubert Humphrey, and George fucking Wallace. Sorry, there's our first F-bomb of the evening. Sorry. It was in the mix too, getting the racists all ginned up with a load of populist hokum. And then, you know, January 1969, Nixon gets inaugurated. The war drags on for 4 or 5 more years. Henry Kissinger decides it would be a great idea to bomb innocent civilians in Cambodia and Laos. Commits war crimes that I am absolutely convinced are the, you know, he's staving off death as long as he can, because he knows that the furnaces in hell are stoked up to the point that they could melt titanium. And so, you know, deal with the devil. You know, you get Allende in Chile, and the God, everywhere he touched turned to sticky, bloody abattoirs. And Nixon was down for all of it. That's just one example. There was the primarying by Edward M. Kennedy of Jimmy Carter in 1980. Yeah, and that crazy, that old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, was the beneficiary of that. And Carter was close going into the election. Actually had a lead here and there, depending on how you looked at the polls. Then, of course, there's Al Gore in 2000. He wasn't an incumbent. But once again, but all of, you know, there was an element of the sparkle fart propelled unicorn cavalry purity patrol each and every time. Let Ralph debate! Ralph Nader, who, as I've noted in the past, was running around using George Wallace and Strom Thurmond's talking points. But Chink Huger, who is ever so much smarter than everybody else, has decided that Joe Biden has to step down. Because nothing... None of the things that Joe Biden has accomplished. The most progressive agenda of any president since 1945. Well, since the 1930s. And it doesn't matter. And Chink points to bad polling numbers. And if Joe Biden's numbers were like this in September of 2024, it would be worrisome. And he cherry picks his polls.
3 in 6 recent polls had him in the 30s. In one recent poll, President Biden was at an abysmal 32% approval rating.
And from on high, speaking day cathedra, I suppose, he says, that's unrecoverable. You're just telling yourself sweet little lies if you think he can win with those numbers. And of course, these progressive bills don't really, well, they get short shrift because obviously Cenk Uygur runs on 200 proof progressive purity. And nobody will ever be progressively pure enough for him. He mocks the people who say, that's not fair. He passed so many bills. No one has passed this much legislation since Grover Cleveland or something. He passed the semiconductor bill. And then declares, I got bad news for you if you're a Democrat. No one cares about the semiconductor bill or any of the other bills that helped his donors so much, and coincidentally a couple of other Americans as well. Even if you love those bills, no American even knows about them. No American. Americans who are getting jobs because of them, you think they know about them? This is infuriating. Then he declares that there's no way Trump could beat anyone else but Biden. This is some seriously backward thinking. Yeah, there's some snark in here, so what? And there are some sketchy-ass polls. But that's the thing. They're sketchy-ass polls. I mean, this just feels like a triggered. Just triggered. He's doing the maggot's job for them. And all in the name of nothing but clicks. MAGA, he declares, should be doing everything they can to keep Biden in the race. He's their only hope. And so I keep scrolling because anybody with this much wisdom must certainly know who it is that should lead the country instead of the guy who, albeit briefly, lifted more children out of poverty than any other. It's not his fault that Joe to the Manchin born stomped them back into hunger. Then he hauls out his bona fides. I'm a progressive, so even if I get my wish and President Biden were to step down, I'm not... See, here's how you know that it's a sparkle fart-propelled unicorn cavalry purity patrol piece. Even if I get my wish and President Biden were to step down, I'm not overly fond of any of the corporate Democrats we have to choose from, because they're all corporate Democrats, because none of them can ever approach the progressive purity of Cenk Uygur. But, he says, if you're being honest, they would all beat Trump with a stick. And apparently when he says the corporate Democrats, what he means is Gavin Newsom. Because it links to a Newsweek Democrat sub, the top photo of which is Gavin Newsom. But you know what there, what isn't there? Again, it says, I'm not overly fond of any of the corporate Democrats we have to choose from. There are no candidates or potential candidates in the list. So, who's Cenk Uygur going to get behind? Rotted FK? He's running. I mean, frankly, between you and me, it would not surprise me one iota if, in fact, Cenk Uygur got behind Rotted FK. That kind of guy. He touts the fact that he's a founder of Justice Democrats. A founder. Not a leader. Because it was, I believe it was sometime after he founded Justice Democrats, a lot of Me Too stuff came to light. Some really vulgar blog posts from the early part of this century and whatnot. And then this paragraph. If you spend any time listening to people in power in politics or media, I am not in power in media, okay? You'll have heard some version of the talking point that Joe Biden is the only one who can beat Trump. You know why that is? Because he's already beaten Trump. Oh, but Cenk is so much smarter than the rest of us, and he has a way to explain that. He says it's nonsense. Biden is the only person who can't beat Trump. My left foot can beat Trump. Cenk Uygur's left foot for president. An open dumpster fire can beat Trump. Really? But like I said, he's got an answer. The D.C. establishment will huff. Huff. They're huffing. We don't know what. Propane? Keyboard duster? I don't know. Yes, Joe Biden won the Electoral College by 44,000 votes in three swing states. You know what that means? See, this is where we know how smart he is. It means he almost lost. Of course, you can say that of just about everybody who wins an election. Wow, but they could have lost. And apparently, Cenk is mad at Joe Biden because, well, Cenk should probably be, yeah, Joe Biden would be such a better president if only Cenk Uygur was his chief of staff. Spare me the useless talking point about how he won by 7 million votes. That's true. But, because every time there's something that defeats me, yeah, but, he almost lost. If you wanted that to matter, maybe you should have passed the Freedom to Vote Act. Yoo-hoo. You, Joe Biden? I hate to break it. I hate to break it to Aristotle here, but Joe Biden does not sit in the House or the Senate. Used to be a senator. Now he's president. Different story. Joe Biden doesn't have the power to pass dick. Oops. Sorry. You should have passed the Freedom of the Vote Act, but President Biden barely tried. There's that adverb, doing a lot of work, so that means he did try. Yeah. But it was barely. If he'd only been more progressively pure like Cenk, he would have tried more progressively purely harder. Hess donors apparently didn't press him on that one. Oh, that's just bitchy. And so we have to have tormented our poor little eyeballs for several paragraphs of this drivel before we finally get to, I'm putting forward a petition, and naturally there's a link, asking Joe Biden to drop out of the race. Because unlike the president, I actually believe democracy is on the line. This is horrible writing. I'm just going to say, this is terrible. This is just rhetorically pitiable. I actually do believe democracy is on the line. Well, we all know what I think of believing. I don't believe democracy is on the line. I fucking know it. I live it. I'm not sitting, no offense to my California friends or anybody on the Pacific coast, I'm not sitting cushy in an absolutely safe state with the luxury and the economic power to protect itself against a predatory attack on democracy at the federal level. I'm in West by God, Virginia. And I know what that looks like up close, democracy being on the line. I don't think Joe Biden thinks otherwise. And see, that's the thing. That's the difference between thinking, knowing, and believing. I don't want to go, I don't think you're going, Cenk, into that fateful election with a hobbled candidate whose chances of winning are so low. Why would we voluntarily make that mistake? I swear to God, I wouldn't be a dime surprised to see that Cenk Uygur's cashing checks from the Republican National Committee. It wouldn't be the first time that they've done that kind of skullduggery. You can hate the messenger, he says. I don't hate Cenk. That would require me even remotely giving a fuck about Cenk. Joe Biden is going to lose this election. We need a new candidate. And yet, through all of this, not one suggestion. Gretchen Whitmer? No, corporate Democrat. Gavin Newsom? Nope, corporate Democrat. Bernie, by God, it's got to be Bernie. Hon? Bernie is solidly in Joe Biden's camp. Ooh, here's somebody who could. Let me go back for some. Let me go back for some notes here. When I got started on all of this, Stephen New York said polls. You see the Chris Hayes piece on the polls and the fact that the Democrats keep way overperforming in the most recent state and local elections? Yeah, I did. And the polls 14 months out from an election, I mean, do bookies even establish a line on a football game 14 months before it's played? And are there any soft skulls that run out and place their bets based on that? I mean, hell, I wonder how many people had money on the Jets covering and taking the over before that first game against the Bills. The Jets won. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers was supposed to put on an air show. Aaron, air show. Don't try that at home. It's silly. And just who is it, you know, God help the Democrats if Trump isn't the nominee. Really? Because America's going to run out and vote for the mean lady, Imrata? The mean, dumb lady, I should add. Or they're going to take an unproven quantity in Tim Scott? I'm pretty sure Tim Scott just lost the entire UAW vote. Guessing. We'll get into that in a minute. He's got a National Labor Relations Board complaint against him now. And those are legal because there's no speech and debate clause on that bullshit. He's saying it from the hustings as a candidate. Anyway. Cynthia out in the Bay Area. Hey, Cynthia. I'll be voting for Biden. And fuck all those so-called progressives who sabotage Biden and give us Trump again. And I'd curse them all to rot in hell if only there was a hell for them to rot in. I know. But like the line from the end toward the end of The Sun Also Rises, wouldn't it be lovely to think so? Isn't it lovely to think so? Yes. Emilio, stop that. Stop it, Kincaid. Kennedy, Stein, Nader can win. Neo, anti, anthropo, chimera, Kelly, phobic shill. All right, for that you get the cowbell. Neo, anti, anthropo, chimera, Kelly, phobic shill. And I got through that without hurting myself. Kim with in New York, with a couple of observations. Subject line: chink. Hi, Robin. Hi, Kim. I'm so disappointed. Veering on outraged. Used to think highly of chink. I know. I think a lot of us did. I met the guy. We had drinks in D.C. one time. But this is a step too far. The hell is he thinking? I truly hope he's not being funded by some entity that means us no good. Sigh. Kim, you know I love you. Hope in one hand. And the rest of that phrase. I've always gotten the idea that Cenk's approach was the Larry Darrell and Darrell approach. From the second, you know, the second Newhart program. Newhart? You know, anything for a dollar? Because at the bottom of the Newsweek thing, Cenk reminds us that CEO and founder of TYT, host of the Young Turks, the largest online news show in the world. Can the planet hold them? I don't know. But if the reach is as broad as he brags, this shit's worrisome. I mean, who's it going to be, blank or bust for 2024? I mean, is this just the opening Rotted FK was looking for? Now, I did not read the entire text of this bilious drivel. This scurrilous scribbling. But beyond the fact that he doesn't even mention potentially who it is he wants to replace Joe Biden, if we want to unpack that, and if we want to sort of tease out the threads of that idea, then what you get is Joe Biden resigns
for the good of the country,
and Vice President Kamala Harris becomes the President of the United States, and she runs. But you'll notice that, and I'm sure that he would say that Cenk, if asked, "Well, Kamala's a cop." Right.
So once again, the music is happening in the silence between the notes as well as the played notes themselves.
Yeah, but not her. Not the black lady.
When in point of fact, that's really all you got. Because anybody who actually has any political sense knows that you do not backstab the incumbent unless you really want the Republican to win. Good Lord. As to the potential of some entity that means us no good, Kim adds, perhaps no labels? Strange bedfellows, Kim. Strange bedfellows.
Yeah, polls, Steve in New York says, the real thing that people refuse to see is that national polls simply don't mean anything, ever. Everyone who can hear your voice when you read this knows that we don't have national elections. Truth. We have an antiquated relic of our bloody history of enslavement in the Electoral College.
That's true. George out in Coarse Gold. Hey, George. Does anyone in the Horn community know why Chris Hayes is out at MSNBC? I think that he's done a pretty good show. I didn't. I regret to say, he and I are on the air at the same time, so I really don't see what's going on. The answer on my part is I don't know, but I know that there have been forces inside MSNBC going back to almost the first minute that Chris went on air that have wanted him off camera. Even when I was showing up there every so often, there were always rumblings that Chris was on the way out the door. I personally think he's among the very best of their hosts. But he may not be a favorite of the suits, because he's as unabashedly liberal and progressive as anyone on that network. And that ain't necessarily a good sign, for the suits at NBC, Comcast, Universal. So that. Ralph's serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Cenk Uygur Research Department, found a website that said Cenk is worth somewhere between $5 and $10 million. Good for him. But when you're playing around in the $5 to $10 million range, well, you always want more. Ah, there it is. Okay, George, your answer may lie in this fact. Jen Psaki, new 8 p.m. show on MSNBC, Chris Hayes to host Tuesday to Friday, according to The Hollywood Reporter. So, and this was dated September 7th of this month. Jen's going to be on Mondays, and because, they gave her a shot, let her work the weekend thing. That worked out. Hayes will continue to host his show on Tuesday through Friday nights. Psaki will also continue to host Inside on Sundays at noon and write her MSNBC political column. MSNBC noted that for the past year, All In has had a rotating slate of guest hosts. Why didn't you call? On Monday nights, as Hayes has worked on his podcast and upcoming book and live events, he will continue to expand his portfolio of content for the company. Saki, it should be noted, was a frequent guest host for Hayes on Monday nights. And the Hollywood Reporter notes that they've been tweaking their lineup, MSNBC. So I don't know that anything further has changed on that front. But apparently there are some shakeups going on in broadcast. I hadn't necessarily planned on getting to this right away. Let's just put a bow on this and say that Cenk Uygur is a twit and leave it at that. But I had a story. The bottom line is there are a bunch of maggots who are eyeing the exits. So many tabs. I don't see it, but a number of maggots are looking at better gigs. And in particular, this article I looked at, I saw mentioned Ken Buck of Colorado, who may be getting, remember, maggot, okay? Maggot. May be getting a gig at CNN, as CNN moves inexorably toward trying to be Fox. Oh, well. I mentioned earlier that Tim Scott, I've got a good Christian girlfriend. Y'all have just never seen her because she exists only in my own mind, Scott. Junior senator from South Carolina to the one and only Miss Lady G, Lindsey Graham. Well, United Auto Workers have filed a complaint with the National Labor Relations Board over Tim Scott's statement that anyone who goes on strike should simply be fired. And I guess he has dictatorial urges. He made those remarks, I guess, oblivious of the fact that to the fact that it's not legal to fire someone simply for going on strike. And it's a good thing in America, and I'm hoping the resurgence in labor can counter some of the bullshit that people like Cenk Uygur is pumping out. Everett Kelly, national president of the American Federation of Government Employees. They represent more federal and D.C. government employees than any other union. They've got about they've got a rank and file of about 750,000 workers. Speaking once again to Newsweek, Everett Kelly said, "I don't think, I would say maggots, House Republicans' concerns about spending have any merit at all. What this tells me is we've got to really go to the polls and vote for people sensitive to the American need. These individuals are not sensitive to the American need. I think they came in with an intent, but don't realize how it impacts the rest of America." That was very nice of him. And Everett Kelly went on to say that he has spoken to members on both sides of the aisle, and he said, AFGE is not partisan one way or another, but it does seem that the Republican Party is doing everything they can to make sure we have a shutdown. They're not listening to the speaker, and that's a problem. That shutdown will come a week from yesterday. Today was back to Washington travel day, so not shit is going on till tomorrow. Yeah, the folks who know how money works, you know, the banking sector, are saying that if the shutdown happens, it may very well trigger another recession. And of course, the Republicans would love that, but because that's Joe Biden's recession. It's because of the migrants and the drag queens. Come on, you know they will. There are so many people that are going to be touched by this. There are people, like I said previously, in every community, in every state in the nation. But there are also people abroad, overseas. And it's not just a paycheck not coming in. It's their legal status to be in country in many instances. It all gets very complicated very quickly. And, you know, Matt, it just gets worse. And Andy Biggs and Paul Gosar, the demon dentist of the desert. And Lord knows, Lore Boebert, you know, sluttier Sarah Palin. Don't give a fuck. But they're Christians, right? Of course, they're Christians. Back to the UAW for a minute. The strike is, okay, let's handle this. And by the way, we're coming up on the end of the first hour of the program. We've got just a little bit of money to go to get us done with Larry and Liberalville's first challenge of the week. Thank you so much, Larry. Remember, if we bring in $200 every day this week, Larry's going to see to it that we finish the month flush with the challenge that he's made, because we bring in 200, he puts in 200. And on top of the 200, there's a percentage total that involves me doing some ciphering. So thank you, Larry. And where did I say we were? $65 away, was it, I think? Okay. Y'all really knocked down a big chunk of it really quickly. Hopefully we can do the rest of it, and that'd be nice. Matt in San Francisco says, how soon they forget. Does anyone remember the original transformational proposal the Biden-Harris team pushed for as soon as he got into office? It included a plan for child care. Child care in America. for like the first time ever that I remember, a proposal that had things in it that would have actually helped the average working person in America. That entire omnibus proposal, of course, was met with the likes of Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema and other folks on our side that decided helping too many people was something with which they would not put. Yeah. I remember Joe saying, Joe Manchin saying, well, I'm afraid they'll use it to go out and buy drugs. But yeah, the guy who put it all together and tried to seize the moment coming out of the pandemic thought he could get it all through and gave it a good effort. We can't blame him for the entrenched powers that be, for saying not today. We can't allow people to see their government actually making their lives better. You'll have to get all that transformational stuff piece by piece. You know, like how the Republican whittled away at the support beams year after year until the entire structure collapses. So much easier to destroy things than to build them. So in summary, the Purity Brigade can shut the fuck up and help change the House and Senate by giving Biden what he needs to get passed for what he wants to do. That might actually work, but instead, let's hope for a unicorn to appear. Some on our side never learn. I know, Matt. I see these things, and just because of the little tidbits that are stuck rattling around in my little noggin, I hear Casey Stengel's voice from the far-off, dim, and misty 1962 baseball season, looking in a state of total bemusement at his first-year Mets and saying, does anybody here know how to play this game? Now, over the course of the 20 years of this program, I have ranted and raved and railed when dumb things happened. But I also recognize that it's a hell of a lot easier to throw rocks at the windows from the outside than to go in the building and do the hard work. And Matt alludes to this. You have to have power before you can get anything done. And you really can't fault Joe Biden for the effort. I mean, he courted Joe Manchin for all he was worth. He made his wife the head of the Appalachian Regional Commission, for God's sakes. And if there is a sinecure in this country, if there is a satrapy in this country, it's heading something like the Appalachian Regional Commission. She literally has control over where every dollar goes that outfit has within the counties and states that are designated, and it's not necessarily by geography, as Appalachia. There are counties in northeast Mississippi that are within the Appalachian Regional Commission, although you can't even see an Appalachian hill from northeast Mississippi, but I guess there's a little bit of a common cultural bond there. He's done everything in his power, Joe Biden has, to get Joe Manchin to not be such a fucking dick. And if there's a critique here, it is that, well, Joe Biden just doesn't know very many West Virginians. If, for instance, and I'm not gonna work Cenk Uygur's corner. No, hell no. But if, for instance, somebody from the White House going, hi, and I'm like, hi, I could have said, y'all, none of this is going to help. Because there is a law of nature that's right up there with gravity and Boyle's gas laws the law of conservation of mass and energy, and the laws of thermodynamics, And it's the first law of mansions. No mansion ever does anything that does not benefit someone named Manchin. It's so elegant in its simplicity. It's like Occam's razor. You're only with a Porsche and a yacht and a Harley Davidson. But apparently it's really, really hard to grasp. There's never been any benefit to anyone named Manchin in this state in putting an end to the poisoning of the people of this state and of eastern Kentucky and southwest Virginia and northeast Tennessee. And so the blasting goes on day by day. The poisoning goes on. It's invisible. It's too tiny for anything in your body to filter out. And so, you know, it kills them over. It kills the hillbillies over a long time. And not killing hillbillies doesn't have any benefit to anyone named Manchin. So therefore, the hillbilly killing goes on. And where we were talking a few months ago about how Joe Manchin was feeling his third way presidential timber, now apparently he's decided he wants to be the president of whatever's left of my beloved West Virginia University, Harvard on Mon, sitting up on blocks in E. Gordon Gee's front yard. But hey, the Mountaineers beat Texas Tech on Saturday. Let's go Mountaineers. Country roads, take me home. TJ, hey, thank you. Larry in Liberalville's challenge is met. And Charlene just took us over the top, so that will add a premium to today. Wow. Thank you, thank you, thank you, TJ. And thank you, thank you, thank you, Charlene. I think it's a Porsche, Matt, in San Francisco. Matt said, wasn't it a Maserati? Maybe it is a Maserati, but, well, that would, you know what, that would make sense if it is a Maserati. Nowhere near the equal of a Porsche, but it would speak to Joe's Italian heritage. Hell, maybe the Italian government gave it to him. So that's the first hour of the program. And just to go back, yeah, the United Auto Workers have filed a complaint against an actual candidate for the presidency of the United States of America. Tim, where is his girlfriend, Scott? He was on the hustings. Scott was in Iowa. And, you know, maggots anywhere are maggots everywhere, and there's nothing to indicate the people he's talking to aren't still maggots. And they have no love, even though a lot of them are working people. They're working people who, by God, know their place just like Tim Scott does. And so on the hustings in Iowa, Tim Scott declared to a gang of people who would probably find old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, just too damn liberal. Scott said, I think Ronald Reagan gave us a great example when federal employees decided they were going to strike. If you strike, you're fired. Well, that was the air traffic controllers. And I know, trivia, I know of retired air traffic controllers who to this day will not refer to that airport in Washington, D.C., or rather across the river from Washington, D.C., by the name it was given in honor of that greasy-headed old B-movie actor who carped at having to buy condoms for a little teenage starlet that he was hoping to bang and offered her a cold hamburger for dinner. Oh, the things that stay in my mind. They will not refer to, they still just call it National Airport, and that name in front of it. And of course, there's a big bronze statue of old 666 as you traverse the loop into the departures area of the airport. question, Lou in PA, subject line, one, the Mets, and two, Manchin. Message body, one, Casey Stengel would have the same pithy comment about the 2023 Mets. Hell, the Yankees, for that matter. And two, how do we get rid of Manchin? I think the people of West Virginia may grant you your wish, Lou. Make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice and that poor, pathetic, put-upon bulldog baby dog may just whip his ass in November of 2024, and hence the idea that maybe he'd like to be president of West Virginia University. Yeah, just something to kind of keep his hand in. Yeah, somewhere that he can, as the saying goes, wet his beak. Yeah, running him for president is a nightmare scenario, because then the people who, I don't know, I can't imagine Cenk Uygur being a big Manchin fan, but you know, he's anybody but Biden, so maybe that's the only box he'd have to tick. Question about mail delivery. Frank says, will USPS mail delivery be suspended if the U.S. government shut down? I don't think so. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. We have expertise in the community on the United States Postal Service in the form of the recently retired Ms. Karen, who might transmit a message through all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve in Georgistan, and still out there braving the rain and snow and sleet and gloom of night, Kevin in Massachusetts. So I will conjure both of you in an effort to get a more an answer with more expertise than that, Frank. Thanks for asking. So anyway, over at The Intercept, Daniel Bogislaw reported that the UAW filed a complaint against Tim Scott in his capacity as a representative for Tim Scott for America. In the Intercept article, Bogislaw says, in addition to being a senator representing the state of South Carolina, Scott is running for president, making him an employer as well. The premise of the complaint is that Scott's comments could be construed as a direct threat against his campaign staffers, whose right to strike is enshrined in federal law. And Sean Fain, president of the UAW, I find more reasons every day to like this guy a lot, reporting over the weekend indicated that the UAW is making ground with Ford, but largely stalled with Mary Barra and General Motors. You'd better be careful, or people will start referring to her as Bird Dog Barra. Working man ain't no better than a bird dog. And Sean Fain on social media over the weekend, or last week, said, T Tim Scott just shows another example of how the employer class abuses the working class in America. Employers willfully violate labor law with little to no repercussions. Time for more stringent laws to protect workers' rights. And I am, I'm sure it is nowhere near ideologically pure enough, but I am proud of Joe Biden. Joe Biden is going, as president of the United States, is going to go to the picket line and stand in solidarity with the UAW. You remember, such a long time ago now, do you remember when then-candidate Obama said that if a union went on strike, he would put on his comfortable walking shoes and go and walk the line? And didn't. He got no small amount of shit for that, and it just so happens that Joe Biden was his vice president at the time. Reuters interviewed Jeremy Suri. I remember Jeremy Suri. Dr. Bill interviewed him a couple of times. He's a mite right-wingy. But Jeremy Suri told Reuters, it's very rare for a president to visit strikers. Even Jimmy Carter never went to a picket line. This would be a major, major shift for Biden to identify the presidency with striking workers rather than siding with industry or staying above the fray. The profound urge to say something snarky about his lack of ideological purity nonetheless. Biden saying all the right things, saying that the big three should go further to ensure record corporate profits mean record contracts for the UAW. It's the very same thing that the leaders of the unions are saying. And can I add, just hashtag organize Tesla. Once this is done, if the UAW gets a victory, focus all your energy on organizing that shithole hellscape workplace that is Tesla. It'll be ugly, it'll be hard, it may even be dangerous. But the people suffering under Leon Scum's lash there deserve no less. Also, hashtag deport Musk. If it was worth it to the Nixon administration to try to deport John Lennon, why is it not worth the effort to try to deport a man who supplanted his own judgment for American foreign policy? Just saying. You know, for the most part, this Moran Monday has surprisingly been devoid of Nitwit Nero. Till now. Because Nitwit Nero is trying to court the UAW membership in his own right. Joe Biden's going to Michigan tomorrow. So Nitwit Nero is going to be there on Wednesday. And somehow or another, Nitwit Nero has decided that, well, over at his rickety, God only knows when it'll fall apart social media site, Tripe Social, he triped,
Crooked Joe Biden, who is killing the United Auto Workers with his weak stance on China and his ridiculous insistence on all electric cars, every one of which,
he wants them to be powered by steam.
every one of which will be made in China, saw that I was going to Michigan this week, Wednesday, so the fascist in the White House just announced he would go there tomorrow. That was the only way to get him out of the basement and off his lazy ass.
Remember, it's all projection or confession.
Where's my Diet Coke, my two scoops of ice cream, my extra slice of cake, and my two Big Macs? Oh, the lettuce.
But he wasn't done.
He's been a complete disaster for all auto workers in the U.S.
Maybe Chink can write something about that, saying how right he is.
So much do.
I think he meant so.
That with his warped plan in mind, there won't be
the T-H-E-I-R.
Won't be any auto workers left in 3 years. He is destroying our country, and likewise destroying the United Auto Workers.
I'd like to know when Nitwit Nero became a fan of the UAW, or any union for that matter.
When he slowly walks to pretend he is a picket.
Pretend he is a picket? Huh? And then all caps.
Remember, he wants to take your jobs away and give them to China and other foreign countries. Turn your back on this corrupt and highly incompetent president, by far the worst in the history of the United States, and shout out to your union leadership to endorse Donald J. Trump. I will keep your jobs and make you rich.
He can't even make himself rich. This is just kind of an aside. But can we get a little bit more mainstream, multimillionaire, for-profit media coverage on the fact that this guy is obviously out of his fucking mind? I mean, this isn't even a close call anymore. He's knucking futs. I'd be surprised if he even... I mean, I don't think she goes down to Mar-a-Lago very often, but I'd be surprised if he ever... if he can still even recognize melanoma.
Who's that kid? He's really tall. Melanie? Mel? What?
I'll make you rich. The thing is, though, the UAW has not endorsed. Now, President Biden's got a lot of union endorsements so far. But he hasn't gotten the endorsement of the UAW. Hopefully this will, when he shows up tomorrow, hopefully this will change things. Oh, I had some notes from Arnold in PA. I'm over the Young Turks. I'm really not impressed. All corporate networks, including Fox, are going through changes. What I'm talking about, there will be no divided media. It will just be a different color. I never trusted the Young Turks. I saw their success as probably money being a backstory. Well, it was. I don't know the bio that well. But I think, I know that the one thing Chink and I both have in common is that we both graduated law school. Someone told me once that all of his other siblings were like, you know, wildly successful, you know, doctors and whatnot, and that he was kind of the letdown. I don't know the dynamics. But, you know, that's where that is. Oh, by the way, On Friday, I said, don't be surprised if no senators call for the resignation of Bob Menendez. John Fetterman proved me wrong. And on this program, I'm not afraid to admit when I'm wrong. For some reason or another, it's a much higher bar, a harder hill to climb for a lot of other people. I was wrong. John Fetterman made no bones about it. See, there's that decorum problem again. And said, Senator Menendez should resign. He's entitled to the presumption of innocence, but he cannot continue to wield influence over national policy, especially given the serious and specific nature of the allegations. I hope he chooses an honorable exit and focuses on his trial. And then, they double-checked, well, he, they began looking around, wait, maybe he gave us money. And lo and behold, they did. The New Millennium PAC, which is run by Bob Menendez, gave $5,000 to John Fetterman. John Fetterman, in turn, announced that he will be returning the $5,000 in stacks of $100 bills stuffed into envelopes. You know, just like the $100 bills that they found at Menendez's place and stuffed in a jacket. He's good. He's very, very good. Yeah, I love the fascist in the White House comment. He learned another word, fascist. Emilio said, oh, Donald's so cute when he's projecting. Damn it, Robin, you beat me to it. What better way to play 11D-dimensional chess than to be a fascist calling someone else a fascist, right? Clever. And just because it's more Ann Monday, here's a little bit of fun. Mr. Meth Pillow, or as he is referred to at Raw Story, Pillow Magnate Mike Lindell this past Friday lost again. He tried to quash the FBI seizure of his cell phone that they took off him. Now remember, he's a pillow magnate, y'all. He's Mr. Million Dollar Meth Pillow Mike Lindell. Well, the FBI took his cell phone away from him in a Hardee's parking lot. That's, what's the name of it out west? Carl's Jr., to y'all. The Court of Appeals said, nah, you can't have your phone back. The court said, Lindell's irritation as to where and how the government took possession of his cell phone, it was apparently, I can't have the rubes know I'm going to Hardee's. I mean, granted, they're better biscuits than McDonald's, but come on. Lindell's irritation as to where and how the government took possession of his cell phone does not give rise to a constitutional claim, let alone a showing of callous disregard for his constitutional right. Oh, my God. Mike Lindell has a constitutional right not to have his cell phone taken from him in the parking lot at Hardee's, like some common crackhead. They should have taken his cell phone from him at 21. Or the Four Seasons or something. Here, the court continued, a federal magistrate judge determined there was probable cause to seize and search Lindell's cell phone. The warrant explicitly authorized the search of Lindell's person for his cell phone, as well as the seizure and search of the phone records and information constituting fruits, evidence, or instrumentalities of the three federal offenses with which he is charged. Those three federal offenses would be identity theft, damage to a protected computer, and conspiracy to commit identity theft and or cause intentional damage to a protected computer. Wait a minute. All this time that I've been being courted by a Nigerian prince, you mean it was just Mr. Meth Pillow? My heart's breaking. In his whining, Lindell said he was cornered in a Hardee's parking lot in Minnesota last year. Cornered in the parking lot. Why do I feel like that should have been a Clash song or something? Lost in the supermarket, cornered in the parking lot. The court really wasn't having any of it. While the phone very likely also contains a plethora of information unrelated to the government's investigation, such as business-related correspondence and transactions, photographs, passwords, apps, potential attorney-client communications, and private communications with friends, family, and business associates doing a lot of work there, this fact does not transform the warrant into a general warrant. This is some ugly shit. See, it wasn't a blanket search for no particular reason, the court went on, but they were looking for discovering evidence of an ongoing, well-defined equity stripping scheme. Of course, because he's a very fine Christian. Equity stripping. Somebody call Ron Monkey up Duplantis. There's equity and strippers, apparently, in that one sentence. Busy day. Then there's Mark Meadows. You know, it was a frustrating summer because, honestly, I can't remember the last time I fired up a smoker and did some brisket, some pulled pork, you know, some chicken, some cheese-stuffed smoked jalapenos. Oh, those are so good. My beloved trifold pork loin stuffed with dried cherries and cheese and, yeah, never mind. But one of the things that happens to you when you really tend a smoker, you know, I'm not talking about one of those pellet affairs where you just set the temperature and you plug it in and you walk away and you come back when the timer goes off and it's done all the work for you and you can take all the credit. I mean a smoker that you actually have to tend and fuss with the dampers and make sure your fire doesn't get too hot or doesn't get too low and so that and you know you're working for that perfect smoke ring, that beautiful bricky red color. The mahogany exterior. And what you'll find happens is that, you know, wind shift and everything, and whatever you're wearing, when you walk in the house, you're going to smell like somebody who's been around a lot of smoke. Now, when it's hickory, it's almost like a perfume or a cologne. It's spicy. Yes, Ralph, yes. Cheese, I simply adore cheese. Yeah. Oh, God, perfect timing, Ralph. But that's if you're smoking with hickory or some other flavorful wood, you know, alder out in the Great Northwest, or fruit woods like cherry and apple, or nutmeg woods like pecan, dried grapevines are amazing. But if you're, whatever, the thing is, whatever you're burning and the smoke gets on you, you're going to smell like what you were burning. In the heady days of my misspent youth at Harvard on the Mond, for instance, there were couch burnings. My beloved university, or what's left of it, used to be famous for that. Get a big win. Get some, you know, the near poverty level students would get their ratty ass old couches, put them in the streets, and light them on fire, and dance some sort of pagan dance in the moonlight. And when you are all said and done, because it's not a healthy practice, you would throw away the clothing. Because it would smell of, like, burnt foam rubber. I mean, it's really an incredibly environmentally toxic. And you don't want to be downwind of that shit. Well, of all the things... We live in an age of all the things I ever thought I'd never see. Nah, don't even do that to yourself anymore, because the minute you do, you're gonna. But according to Cassidy Hutchinson's new book, I'm strongly tempted to read this. Cassidy Hutchinson said that her boss, Mark Meadows, burned so many documents from the Trump White House that when he got home, his wife would complain to him about how smoky he smelled. They used, apparently, not a burn bin or a burn barrel. No, they used a White House fireplace. And they burned them, and what they were burning were documents after a meeting with the chairman of the Fedum Caucus. That would be Andy Biggs, wouldn't it? No, Scott Perry from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. There was a White House meeting with the Fedum Caucus in which they conspired to undermine the 2020 election. And so it is in her book, Cassidy Hutchinson says it was an administration awash in paranoia. Well, the fish rots from the head. And that Mark Meadows, absolutely drowning in the same paranoia of his boss, refused to put daily litter in burn bags because, wait for it, the deep state might intercept the garbage. No, instead he burned the documents in... There's something about this story that just feels bunker-ish. And by the bunker, you know whose bunker I mean. But Cassidy Hutchinson goes on to say that he burned so many papers in his fireplace in the office of the White House Chief of Staff that Mark Meadows' wife complained to Cassidy about the dry cleaning bill. Now, remember, they're a good Christian Southern couple, Mr. and Mrs. Meadows. Cassidy, can't you do something about it, honey? Sugar, my husband's breaking our bank with his stinky smoked up suits. Our dry cleaning bill has become unsustainable. It was all in a story at the New York Times. That bonfire aroma just won't go away. Over at MSNBC, Steve Bannon said, in the wake of Donald Trump's criminal indictments, the former president has repeatedly insisted that relevant information related to January 6th and his telling was set on fire. Last month, for instance, he used his social media platform to publish a weird all-caps missive that read,
The January 6th Unselect Committee extinguished and destroyed all evidence and records. Criminals!
Yeah.
Hey, Mark. You got any marshmallows? Let's make s'mores.
There are going to be more, and again, like I've, this is going to be decades in the telling, but I really want to be around when they start making the movies. This is Liddy and Haldeman level insanity. Cubed. Cassidy, why does he smell like smoke all the time? He don't smoke. Is he smoking? He swore to me he wouldn't smoke. I mean, you gotta work with me, Cassidy. Yeah, exact routes is just imagine what the ceilings and walls were like from the smoke. And those were the ones that hadn't been ketchuped. Ooh, Heinz smoky ketchup. Somebody get the Heinz marketing department on the blower. That was an unpaid product placement. If it wasn't so godforsaken dangerous to any notion of us having a continuing something resembling democracy, this would be hilarious. I mean, it's wacky, it's zany. But a lot of the humor gets kind of sucked out of it by the fact that these people, remember, were conspiring to overthrow the Constitution and the elected government of the United States of America. And we need to kind of keep that in perspective. Going back to Newsweek, Carl in Phoenix. Hey, Carl. Newsweek has become a right-wing rag, and I stopped watching TYT in 2015. They constantly harped on the emails, and I couldn't take another second of Jimmy Dore. Oh, amen. Hating on trans people is the latest bugaboo for Chink and Anna. Yuck. Yeah, you know what? I managed to do the whole story without even mentioning that. Thanks for noticing, Carl. Really, sincerely, I'm not being sarcastic. Thank you. Whatever is a good dollar is where Chink will go. Seems fairly clear to me. Oh, God, Emilio.
I met a dancer called Equity when I went to see women stripping. She was hot, believe me, so hot.
Equity stripping. Thanks, Emilio. By the way, the last I checked, this is a talk program where I don't just do all the talking. Phone lines are open if you would like to participate. Stress line, of course, is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And, of course, you can reach me on Skype, Robin Kincaid Horn. Robin is one word, R-O-B-Y-N, Kincaid Horn, the other word, K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. And if you never have, send me a contact request. We'll be friends, and then you can call the program, and we can engage in conversation radio, because right now it's Filler Robster Radio. That in San Francisco, subject line burn pit. How bad did the stuff have to be in order for him to burn it? Seeing as they videoed or tape recorded the majority of their crimes. True, it had to be awful. And they had to maintain constant control of the physical documents themselves. You could not even... One maggot could get... Yeah, here we are, Matt. One maggot could not trust another maggot to take the bag to the incinerator. Because there might be a deep stater holding the matches. Or maybe that long-necked butane lighter like you use with a grill. Now, I'm pretty sure the incinerators are far more bougie than that. I mean, that really is a wash in paranoia, just like the New York Times article said. That was names, dates, times. Who was going to do what? Was this from the infamous December 2020 meeting? We don't know. Perhaps it's in Cassidy Hutchinson's book. Maybe Jack Smith can support... Hey, wouldn't this be fun? Wouldn't it be fun if Jack Smith subpoenaed Mark Meadows' dry cleaning records? I mean, that's the kind of thing that happens here. Because the dry cleaning records, if there is a spike, as apparently good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian, Republican, trad wife, Mrs. Meadows, if there was a spike in the dry cleaning bill, that'll tell you when he was doing all the burning. MAGA, many are going away. MAGA, more attorneys getting attorneys. Burning the docs, Stephen New York asks, because the toilet was already too clogged with other documents. You're not wrong.
I can't get it to flush again.
Meanwhile, let's check in with the at least $250 million fraud case that New York Attorney General Tish James brought against the Trump Organization. Judge Arthur F. Engoron is overseeing the case. And this past Friday, he became so frustrated with Nitwit Nero's pettifoggers that he did everything except take off his shoe and pound the bench. He literally pounded on the bench, according to Adam Classfield of The Messenger, as he articulated this principle: you cannot make false statements and use them in business. let that one rattle around for a minute. That would seem fundamental, even obvious. Classfield said he pounded the bench multiple times while making this remark. You cannot lie and then use it in business. And there are rulings coming down tomorrow on various motions before the court. Assistant New York Attorney General Andrew Ammer made a statement in court saying, in defendant's world, there is no objective truth even in the square footage of a New York City condominium. Defendants have clearly stepped through the looking glass. This case gets underway a week from tomorrow, October 2nd. The AG is looking for a streamlined trial focused on evidence of intent to defraud and evidence to support other relief. If victorious and it survives appeal, Trader Tot Jr. and his brother, Eric the Dumber, would be barred by the state of New York from ever serving as a director of a New York corporation. And the reason I said at least $250 million, Tish James's office now says that the inflated assets are more like $3.6 billion in 1 year by itself. And they're playing for keeps. They're moving for sanctions against Nitwit Nero and his lawyers and his organization and his rotten boys because they keep making frivolous claims that have already been ruled to be inapplicable, wrong, and yes, frivolous. And when the New York AG complained about the frivolous complaints, and Gorin looked at the lawyers and said, "You were warned." And A.G. Ammer said that Nitwit Nero's attorneys were arguing values that were light years disconnected between the property's actual values and what the former president said they were. And the A.G. has lots and lots and lots of charts with graphs and circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one. It has to do with valuations of MAGA Lardass, Trump Tower, Trump Park Avenue, and all of them have estimated values that are millions and millions and millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars over the appraised value formerly made. We'll see where that one goes. It may be, there will probably be a lot of weirdness, and of course Nitwit Nero will not show up. Oh no. It's a civil case. So neither he nor Nitwit Jr. nor Eric the Dumber have to show. Iwanka was let out of it because of time barred. This is distressing, and it reminds me of something that our pal Joy
in Ann Arbor mentioned earlier. Oh, by the way, going back to Chris Hayes for just a second. Patrick said, Chris begged off Mondays because of his other projects. He's missed Mondays for a long time. So hopefully he's, yeah. But Joy said, I think folks need to understand that the reason Orange Dump wants a government shutdown is really quite simple. It will cause tremendous pain to people. The sadistic toddler wants to punish us because we're holding him accountable. It's no more complicated than that. He loves to break the world and hurt people. Joy is not wrong. And he has said as much. He went so far as to threaten people over the weekend. He said General Mark Milley, in a former era, should have been executed. Because Mark Milley warned the Chinese that if Nitwit Nero did anything stupid, he'd warn them. Because it would be without the consent of the military brass. There will be, well. The nation is at risk. The New York Times had a story about the possibility of riots similar to the terrorist attack that took place on January 6, 2021, happening all over the country, and random acts of domestic terrorism that lone wolves will perpetrate, who are acting on Nitwit Nero's call for retribution. Already, the investigators and judges who are involved with the four criminal indictments are under 24-hour protection. And the Times says that law enforcement officials fear that the threats will grow and expand. A University of Chicago professor who is an expert on political violence said in the past 13 months, FBI agents confronting individuals suspected of making threats have shot and fatally wounded two people, including one in Utah who was armed and had threatened before President Biden's planned visit to the area to kill him. Many scholars and experts who study political violence place the blame for the current atmosphere most squarely on Mr. Trump, abetted by the unwillingness of many Republican politicians to object to or tamp down the violence and apocalyptic language on social media. In the conservative media, the FBI has been somewhat candid about the fact that their own agents are under increased threats and other personnel who work for the FBI. New York Times report says a U.S. official said threats since the last time the FBI visited Mogilardas. Threats since then have risen more than 300%, in part because the identities of employees and information about them are being spread online. It got so bad that the FBI finally had to create a special unit to deal with just the threats. And Ralphs, a little bit ago, informed me that via Katie Fong, Judge McAfee in Fulton County has entered an order there
that there will be no identifying information of jurors or prospective jurors disclosed in that case. They will be identified by number. There will be no addresses or other personal information be disclosed. There will be no drawings or photos or videos of jurors or prospective jurors. Because the maggots are a violent fascist mob on the march. And he continues to inflame them because he knows what he wants them to do. He called for an investigation. I mean, no. He raged maniacally. How many times do you think of the Roman Empire? Well, no, but the Republic, yes. This is Gaius Marius in his seventh consulship, okay? Only Gaius Marius had a background of having done great things previously, but eventually he just came unglued. And that's what led to Sulla, which led to the proscriptions, which led to blood running through the streets of Rome. Now, Julius Geyser declared that NBC and MSNBC should
be investigated for its country-threatening treason.
And then said, if I get to be president again, I'll do that. And it's outrageous and it's over the top, but it's not impossible to imagine that there will be maggots who would do his bidding that he would install inside government. He went on to say that all the media, or almost all the media,
they're almost all dishonest and corrupt, but Comcast, with its one-sided and vicious coverage by NBC News, and in particular MSNBC, often incorrectly referred to as MSDNC, Democrat National Committee.
Because he has to spell that out in parentheses so that the maggots can understand. He's the one who calls them that.
Should be investigated for its country-threatening treason.
I didn't know MSNBC was a country. And I didn't know it was threatening treason. And I don't think you can really threaten treason. Again, this guy could not withstand a basic neurological assessment that you would get for your cranky old uncle sitting there watching Fox News or Newsmuck or Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Their endless coverage of the now fully debunked scam known as Russia, 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 and much else, is one big campaign contribution to the radical left Democrat Party.
Russia, Russia, Russia wasn't a scam.
I say up front, openly and proudly, that when I win the presidency of the United States, they and others of the lamestream media will be thoroughly scrutinized for their...
Last time he was scrutinizing someone, he got busted for paying her off for her silence.
Knowingly dishonest and corrupt coverage of people, things, and events. Why should NBC or any of the other corrupt and dishonest media companies be entitled to use the very valuable airwaves of the USA free?
MSNBC's on cable, dipshit. There are no airwaves. People aren't bringing MSNBC in over their rabbit ears, you goddamn dumbass. Maybe his television's powered by a steam catapult. Jesus.
They are a true threat to democracy and are, in fact, the enemy of the people. The fake news media should pay a big price for what they've done to our once great country.
Members of the aforementioned media did point out that last week, Geezer Disgustus was the featured interview guest last week on Meet the Press, the signature Sunday morning news program on NBC. Yeah, that was embarrassing. Kristen Welker performed the interview. Howard Feynman said, female political or media antagonists really cause blood to come pouring out of Trump's eyes. Occupy Democrats said he's gone full fascist with an unhinged Sunday night rant. There you have it, folks. While Trump and his Republican enablers love to falsely accuse Democrats of weaponizing the government against Trump, Trump himself is now openly threatening to weaponize the presidency to completely remove entire news channels from the airwaves simply because they expose his rampant criminality. Juliette Kayyem, a professor at the Kennedy School of Government, who also occasionally opines for CNN, said, to view each of Trump's calls to violence in isolation, he attacked Milley, or he attacked NBC, or he attacked the jury, the prosecutor, the judge, is to miss his overall plan to introduce violence as a national extension of our democratic disagreement. It's kind of a mouthful. The shorter version is, he means all of it. He will gladly get his brown shirts and brown skirts out into the streets to bloody up this country if it means his adipose ass stays out of the joint. Yeah, meanwhile, because even though the Washington Post will critique this kind of heinous behavior, they also do polls that are sketchy at best, in which they show Nitwit Nero with a 10-point lead over Joe Biden. Generally, in a 2024 rematch. Even the Post called the poll an outlier, but they put it out anyway. The NBC poll says that he and Biden are neck and neck at 36%, at 46%, but Trump gets a 3-point jump at 39 to 36% if a third party candidate was added. Joe Manchin. And remember, that third way crap, that no labels bilge, is a MAGA psyop, for lack of a better term. Oh, and this just in medias res, with what is coming now, you know, at the end of every program, as I get your booster. Talked to Miss Terry over the weekend. She's gotten hers and her flu shot, and she's all ready to go. I need to get on the stick, or get the stick. The jab, the stabby stabby. Now, the Biden administration is making 4 free COVID-19 tests available for order for every U.S. household. Good. They're rapid tests. You can go to covidtests.gov. COVID, COVIDTESTS, covidtests.gov, and make your request. I did that earlier today. They're good to have on hand. They're no fun to use, but previously, the government has already shipped more than 755 million free COVID-19 tests upon request. Now, if you divide that by 4, 4 into 7, 1 times, 1 times 4, 6, 7, 30, 34, into 35, 8 times, that's about, 180-some million people or families requesting them. The government's recommending that people should test 5 days after they've come into close contact with someone with COVID-19. Even if you show up negative, you're supposed to test again 48 hours later. COVIDtests.gov. And by the way, don't forget, if you are in the target demographic, comorbidities, age, get your RSV vaccine. I wonder if Rotted FK has put anything out on Leon Scum's shitter platform, telling people it'll make them grow antlers or something. Don't know. And it's worth mentioning, because we did talk about the shutdown a little bit. The maggots are going to try to pass spending cuts anyway. And shutdown be damned. And this is, I loved it. I forget her name, the Minnesota congresswoman who introduced the McCarthy Shutdown Act. This is his and his alone. And the Democrats aren't blinking. And that's not just playing politics. If there was something meaningful to be had, I have no doubt that there would be cooperation. But the Democrats are not going to slit the throats of their own constituency and hurt marginalized people who are already marginalized just to satisfy the fetish object of a bunch of maggots. So tomorrow they're going to take up 4 spending bills for the next fiscal year. Those 4 bills would, of course, because job one is hating women, new restrictions on abortion access. Secondly, they would gut the $11 billion climate initiative backed by the Biden administration and build the wall some more. And the squeaker of the mouse, Craven McCarthy, hi Sylvie, said that with this political vandalism, apparently they're willing to work now, so we should have an opportunity. Every one of those bills has already been declared dead on arrival in the. It's not even dead on arrival. It's dead before it even leaves the House, as far as the Senate's concerned. Matt Gaetz is still out there trying to hurt people. Yesterday, Sunday, he said, if the Departments of Labor and Education have to shut down for a few days as we get their appropriations in line, that's certainly not something that's optimal. But I think it's better than continuing on the current path. Meanwhile, Marginal Trailer Queen said, she won't even vote to advance debate on them because there's still money for Ukraine in the bills. Because she really, really, really wants to hurt them. This is so evil. so evil. And the maggots don't care because they like hurting people. They just like hurting people. Well, let's run over to the stress line and see who's been patiently waiting. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello. It's me again.
Oh, hey, Ken. Hey, Ken, how are you?
Essential scrutinizer. You remember that from Joe's Garage? The crazy genius musician.
We would jam in Joe's Garage. His mama was screaming, "Turn it down."
Yeah. You know, I'd go and quit. They're gonna throw all the musicians in jail. They take turns polluting each other and snorting detergent. God, that's terrible. Yeah, speaking of the weed moron, Moran, excuse me, Jake, I was reminded, yeah, when you said, I was thinking the exact same thing. We've been here before with these bomb throwers. Remember, the old blogosphere, it's like Fire Dog Lake. And you always have some jack off there. It was like, ooh, I want a pony. And there's unicorns. I swear I saw one.
Yeah.
Like, stop it. And that, I watched TYT for a while and it's something that didn't pass the smell test. You know what I mean? It's just felt icky. Well, it's not perfect enough. Is it just greed, or do you think he's an agent provocateur?
Well, you know, it's interesting you mention that because you just reminded me of something. Things like that, okay. that bloviating garbage that I led the program with.
Yeah.
Claiming, you know, he's unelectable. You know what would make him electable? People voting for him. And he is electable. And the reason I put it that way is I remember a debate back in 2004 when Dennis Kucinich, who now is running the Rotted FK campaign, Jesus, Dennis, really. But some member of the multimillionaire for-profit media asked him stentoriously, Congressman Kucinich, do you really think you're electable? And Dennis replied, sure am if people vote for me. And that's the bottom line. We do live in a bubble here, Ken. I realize that. The Horn Family Community Congregation, a lot of people who are plugged into progressive politics, you know, that aren't Cenk. Or TYT.
I don't want to shit on them. You know, like you said earlier, I mean, some people maybe still like them.
Hold on. What I was getting at is that we understand things a little in our little bubble. You know, this is what we focus on. This is what we pay attention to because we understand that it is existential in nature. But a lot of people don't, and we've got to get them to. They've got to understand. And for instance, you know, Virginia has, and it's going to be a bellwether. There's that word. Virginia has these weird odd year elections, so they've got a House race. The entire House and Senate up for re-election in this November 2023. And it's brutally close. We talked about it in the case of the candidate who was revenge porned. There's another series of attack ads running in Virginia against a guy named Clint Jenkins. And he's running for a Virginia Senate seat that I think is vacant. And the ad is just filthy. And they make a point of showing Clint Jenkins' black face And at the very end, they show his white male opponent, and this ad was paid for by the Virginia Senatorial Campaign Committee. In other words, scary black man, scary black man, scary black man, scary black man, white guy. And so, if the Republicans take over the House and the Senate in Virginia and turn Virginia, the Commonwealth entirely red, then Glenn Youngkin will get to turn into Monkey Up DeKlantis, perhaps without the go-go boots, because at least he ran a hedge fund once and knows where to buy a suit, because we're all terribly, terribly worried about how politicians dress now. But what I am seeing, you know, people are talking in Virginia, and they're explaining, okay, here's what comes for, and you know, this is something that matters to people. Y'all, I mean, it blew my mind. I didn't realize it. You can legally walk into a store in Virginia and buy you some marijuana. And people really like that. Yeah. And so so the talking points I see over and over and over again, it's like, Glenn Youngkin will be, he'll go to war against everybody who isn't, you know, a white kid, male, you know, a white cisgender heterosexual kid in Virginia. But they're going to take away our weed first. And the taking away the weed part seems to, because, again, it's incredibly popular, and the Republicans are out, you know what, the demon reefer is destroying Virginia. No. But whatever it takes to motivate people, motivate people. I halfway wish we had nationally legal weed, because Nitwit Nero would, of course, be against it.
We're going to save America from the reefer madness. That's the first thing I'll do, is make criminals out of innocent pot smokers all over again.
And I just, and if that's what, if weed is what it takes to get the people who aren't paying attention to pay attention, good. Good.
Yeah, and then again, I was thinking, it's way too far out from the election. You know, over a year, the presidential one, and all those polls, that's complete bullshit. You remember 538?
Doing
a national poll. We know it's Electoral College. They don't break it down by state. So you're lying with statistics.
Yeah, so if, just to use an example,
that was pretty good.
If everybody, right, I mean, that's how stark it is. If everybody in California, every single registered voter in California, votes for Joe Biden so that he wins by, what, 11 million votes? If he still doesn't get enough Electoral College votes from that anachronism, that hateful anachronism of our blood-soaked enslavement days, and he doesn't get to be president. Nitwit Nero's not going to win the popular vote.
Nope.
I mean, even in a state like West Virginia, where, more people voted for Trump in 2020 than voted for him in 2016, and they voted by 68% in 16 and 70% and 20. If you put Joe Manchin on the ticket, that's not going to change much. I'm just wondering where it is that this third party candidate, because it's presumed to be someone who will not be a Republican.
Yeah, the unicorn.
Where that's going to matter? Yeah. Where that's going to matter?
We're here in Magic Land. You know,
I mean, is it going to be
magic land?
Realistically, is that what's going to push, you know, Maine and New Hampshire over? Is that it? Would that deliver? Wisconsin. I can't make the map. Where do these people live?
I know it's magical thinking. They want it to be better.
Nevada?
I think maybe. I don't know. People want it to be better, and they want easy button. Easy button. This shit ain't easy. Anything worth having isn't easy. Is that right? As the saying goes. Oh, crazy craziness, Robin. I'm kind of glad my dad's not alive because he would have lost some goddamn marbles. I can hear him screaming about Trump. Oh boy. Yeah, wow. And he was, frothing at the mouth mad at Reagan. We know what kind of scumbag he was. And that's when this whole thing started. Take over the United States. Because fascism needs, capitalism needs fascism. He wants people to have rights or days off, sleep. You need sleep. You're going to work. No, fuck you. Sinn Féin. Oh, I was going to ask Sinn Féin. It sounded like Sinn Féin. Malloy said the other day, I was thinking, well, great minds think alike. And, but I don't know what the IRA stood for. I just remember the name. Rambling here, sorry.
No, the IRA was the Irish Republican Army. Sinn Féin was its political arm.
Yeah, I don't know if they're a terrorist
The IRA was deemed a terrorist organization because they opposed the English occupation of Northern Ireland.
Right. Okay.
But the guy at the UAW is Sean Féin.
Right, it's Sean Féin.
Sinn Féin was Sinn Féin was Sinnfein, whereas Sean Féin is Shawnfain.
My brother wrote a paper on the IRA, and I knew somebody that had a Sinn Féin tattoo on his arm. That's why I remember it.
Right.
Otherwise, I wouldn't know a damn thing about it. Oh, people need something else to, when you can't be on 24/7, I wish you could, but, Keith Bowman's program on YouTube is really remarkably good. It's basically his countdown show, but he does stories he promised not to tell. That's what he calls it. And they're very, riveting, and he's got such a style, He's a jerk. We know that, but he's a good jerk. He's on our side.
He may be a jerk, but he's our jerk.
He's remarkably talented. Yeah. Man, he admits it. He knows that he's an arrogant ass, but I like him because it's just like Fetterman. He's just not afraid to punch back. Finally, God, we need that. Instead, I have never been so excited to vote for somebody in my entire life. It was John Fetterman. And I'll gladly vote for Biden because, he's a good president.
Hey, he's done a fantastic job. And if members of the multimillionaire for-profit media want to say, but it's not resonating with the American people, whose fault is that?
Yeah, well, because you keep telling the people that, and they just reiterate it, right? Because for all the people that watch, Molester Holt or CNN, I gave up on all that crap a long time ago. you'd have to go to C-SPAN to see all this.
Right, yeah.
And and the mornings are brutal, so C-SPAN.
Well, are you doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I'm just getting fall, starting to get anxious about winter. About everything. Anxious if we're going to still be a country. So maybe I'm not okay.
Look, having, I think, on any given day, I feel like I'm being manipulated. And that's not me being some sort of paranoid. Because we are being manipulated. We're manipulated by both sides. And we are manipulated. And the right wing is manipulated by hate. We are on our side to do what it's more like fear. It's like what you say. I don't know if I think I'm okay. I don't know if I'm okay. Because I don't know if there's going to be a country here. And I certainly resonate with that. Or it resonates with me. Because, again, you pay attention, I pay attention. The Horn Family Community Congregation, the Truth Seekers, Tara Devlin's community, Rick Smith's community, we pay attention.
Sound very well.
And if you pay attention, the rise of fucking Nazism is and should be terrifying. If you're not, well, you're not paying attention. And if you're paying attention and you're not at least fearful of what your own countrymen could do to you, that's like walking whistling down a blind alley in the dark of night.
More magical thinking.
There was in the boom heyday of coal around here, there was a little town called Thurmond, wildly successful for a time. And it was said that a man going home from town did not dare use a lantern as he walked down the tracks because he would be waylaid and killed for whatever was in his pocket. Not far from me, there's a little road called Shade Creek Road. And that's a shortened form of the name. It was actually Shades of Death Creek. Because it was a great place to get waylaid and killed. So, you know, being, and I've learned a lot about situational awareness. No more just walking around. No, you better pay attention.
For sure, yeah. Yep. I can understand it, but I can't understand it. If that makes sense, I can't feel it. You know, I don't know the fury down the marrow in your bones.
Yeah.
Scary times, Robin.
I know. And you know, sometimes we'll whistle past the graveyard and laugh at some of the stupidity. Lee in New York just sent me a story. Oh my God, it's got to be true. This is, upcoming Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the highest of high holy days for Jewish people. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement, when one is supposed to reflect upon sins, shortcomings, and make an effort to do better. Not that well versed, Lee, if I'm getting any of this wrong, help. Or anybody else of the Jewish faith, that's fine.
I like that. I don't have to pay a priest.
But the thing is, marginal, it's not schadenfreude, this is just laughing at stupidity. MTG gets holiday wrong, Lee tells me. This Jewish space laser used a Hanukkah menorah for Yom Kippur. The menorah has a very specific meaning relative to Hanukkah. It has to do with the Maccabean revolt and the oil in the menorah lasted miraculously for 7 days. Out over there in marginal trailer queen's office, you know, menorah, okay, looks Jewish. You don't use menorahs for Yom Kippur. Lee points out an appropriate, yes, oy vey. A giant oy vey from all of us to all of you. Oy vey, man. An appropriate image is a target candle. Just a little white candle in a little glass. Light it, you're good. I'm surprised she didn't put up a menorah that had lasers in it, frankly. Lee. So.
Okay.
At least we get a little giggle out of that. But Ken, you have you have yourself a good evening, my friend. Stay okay.
Okay.
If you can't just be top of the world, at least, you know, stay okay.
All right, you do as well, and hopefully the family can do the same.
We're trying.
So,
we're muddling through, and the family community congregation is the same. You know, we're all in the same leaky boat together. Thanks, Ken. Have a good evening.
Bye.
Ken calling from Northwest PA, otherwise known as Erie. A little bit of time left. If you'd like to jump in and offer up some commentary, you're mighty welcome so to do. Emilio said, "I've heard that menorahs control all the candles in the world." Wake up, Sheeple! Yes, the menorah candle conspiracy. Oh my God. So, again, with about 20 minutes left in the program. Wow, Kevin. Thank you so much. Kevin up in Massachusetts. We are on the way to maybe finishing this month fully funded for the first time since April. Kevin, that's so profoundly helpful. So just keeping up with things, we have taken it down by, let's see, we started at 980. We've taken down the fundraising deficit to 510. 510. And that's profound. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you so much. And remember, Larry in Liberalville, every night that we raise more than $200, Larry in Liberalville will double it. So that now through Friday, every time we raise $200 or more, Larry doubles the $200 and puts a percentage bonus on top of anything we raise beyond that. So, for instance, this evening, it would be $200 plus $47. So that's amazing. It's fantastic. Lee tells me, Yom Kippur just ended. We ask for forgiveness from God. Autocorrect messed up my message. Yahrzeit candle. Not Target candle. I didn't understand why you were giving free product placement to Target, but, well, and people must forgive you for wrongs done to people. Seems a nice sentiment. Healthy. Woohoo, says Ralphs. Yeah, I know. prioritizing those bills and getting them paid. Thank you. Autocorrect messed up. I love that. Yard site candle. I'm guessing that's year time. Yiddish, German-based, yacht site. Isn't that, yeah, yacht site? Ah, maybe I'm close. As to other, well, other stuff, here's another one of those things that the American people don't know nothing about. As the really, really smart guy said, tongue-in-cheek. Today, there was an announcement out from the Biden administration, and I contend that this will probably put a smile on Jessica in Minnesota's face, because she's a big, 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 big railroad buff. And it puts a smile on my face, because having briefly experienced rail travel a long time ago in Europe, it's such a much better thing than air travel. So the Biden administration today said that it's given out $1.4 billion in projects to improve railway safety and increase the ability of American rail to carry capacity. Seventy projects in 35 states in Washington, D.C. Hopefully another Palestine, Ohio doesn't happen, but that was on the railway company, not on the, you know, it wasn't a failure of government. Well, it was a failure of government. It was the Trump administration rolling back railway safety regulations in favor of, I don't know, steam trains, what? Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said these projects will make American rail safer, more reliable, and more resilient, delivering tangible benefits to dozens of communities where railroads are located and strengthening supply chains for the entire country. By the way, President Biden, why hasn't he done anything? Well, he has, and he continues to. He has done what he can on the administrative end, telling federal agencies to bear down on rail companies to make them follow the damn rules. And also has supported a package of rail safety reforms. But, well, it's presently stalled in the Senate of the United States. And by the way, the White House did point out, if anybody was paying attention, that the shutdown that the maggots want so desperately, that would undermine railway safety too. Why isn't he doing anything? Nobody knows about it. Well, isn't that kind of media's job to make sure that people do know about it? There will be track upgrades, bridge repairs, connectivity among railways will be upgraded, less impact from extreme weather, hopefully. And, you know, pay attention to this down south where, you know, we're good conservatives. $178.4 million will go to restore passenger service in parts of Alabama, Louisiana, and Mississippi along the Gulf of Mexico for the first time since, wait for it, Hurricane Katrina, 18 years ago. That's one, two, three presidential administrations. And that passenger service would be the what used to be known as the Southern Crescent. Down out of Atlanta, through Mobile, Biloxi, Gulfport, and into New Orleans. As passenger rail goes, it was a beautiful, beautiful ride once upon a time. But it's just hung fire for 18 years until a man who's tell-alled took notice and said, you know, we should probably fix this. And even maggot Senator Roger Wicker said, well, this is a significant milestone representing years of dedicated efforts to reconnect our communities after the devastation of Hurricane Katrina. Restoring passenger rail service will create jobs, improve quality of life, and offer a convenient travel option for tourists, contributing to our region's economic growth and vitality. Imagine that. And a Democratic president did it. Careful, Raj! The maggots may decide to sing Let's Hang Roger Wicker from the old sour apple tree, just like they did over Mike Pencil Neck Geek, because, you know, you're actually interested in doing something decent for your Mississippi Stan constituents. Rail Passengers Association President and CEO Jim Matthews said, we've been fighting to return passenger trains to the Gulf Coast since it was knocked offline by Hurricane Katrina. The 17-year journey has been filled with obstacles and frustration, but also moments of joy where local champions and national advocates were able to come together around the vision of a more connected Gulf Coast region. But the biggest grant in the whole thing is $202 million that's going to go to eradicate 7 rail crossings in California. It's part of the larger ongoing effort to build high-speed passenger rail there. Traffic delays and emergency response vehicles will no longer be held up by passing trains. In Washington State, the Palouse River and Coulee City Railroad is going to get $72.8 million to upgrade track and infrastructure so that it can handle more modern and heavier rail cars. Why even Kentucky Stan is going to get $29.5 million to improve 280 miles of track along the Paducah and Louisville Railway. And Tennistan will get to upgrade 42 bridges on 10 different short line railroads. $23.7 million going for that. And this, and some maggot somewhere is probably already pissing and moaning and barking and bleeding and grunting and howling. Well, we're throwing away the monies. But that's a good president doing effective presidential things. Just don't tell Chink Uyghur, okay? And one last thing. A story out of USA Today indicates that current research shows that many schools in the United States are downplaying or muting coverage of or teaching about climate change. In a survey, because there's always a survey, students now say that they're not being taught about it. They're having to go looking for it on their own. Amara Ifeji, a 21-year-old senior at Northeastern University in Boston, who is an environmental justice advocate, said, "Everything I learned about climate change was self-taught." She went to high school in Maine, and Maine had no standards for teaching students about climate change. Here in West Virginia, teaching students about climate change is a heresy. Coal, coal, coal. Coal yesterday, coal tomorrow, today, and coal forever. Even though it is a finite resource. USA Today says, at a time when schools are struggling to recover from pandemic-era losses, why not incorporate into lessons an issue that students care about deeply? Because these kids do care. Because it's their planet that they're going to watch burn and drown and freeze and bake. Yeah, a hurricane or tropical storm or whatever, Ophelia. I loved it because it's Shakespearean. I've never been able to say to a tropical storm, "Get thee to a nunnery, go." I wonder if there were any convents in her path. That would have just been too good. It just sort of spun up out of nowhere. And that's why this past weekend turned all gray here where I am. A little bit drizzly and sodden. Most notably, you know, the first weekend of actual autumn. Hi, Darlene. Felt like late October, early November. It's gross. It's like, where's my sweaters? But yeah, the textbooks and media directed toward children, it really do go wanting. A senior fellow at the Aspen Institute that leads the This Is Planet Ed initiative, Laura Shifter, said, "Whether it's decisions about jobs or where they live, their circumstances will be shaped by climate change, these kids. Right now, it's insufficiently taught in American schools. And there is apparently a paucity, gee, I wonder why, there's apparently a paucity of textbook materials to teach this, particularly anthropogenic, got it right this time, climate change as caused by human activity of, you know, burning hydrocarbons." And even college-level textbooks backtrack in what little discussion there is. The high water mark in college text, get this, in a college biology textbook, again, college, in the 2000s, those textbooks included a median of 52 sentences on climate change. In the 2010s, it went to 45 sentences. Not even three full textbook pages. As Chief Brody said. No, it wasn't Chief Brody. Well, whoever. Jaws. This is not a boating accident. And, of course, in some places in Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on Earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God, teaching about climate change can be dangerous to one's career, existence. The mention of sea level rise is still banned in Florida. So there's that. Okay, let's run back over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yeah, hey.
Hey, Robin, how you doing? It's Clarence.
Hey, Clarence, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing great. I just got back from Thailand. I was on a vacation over there for a couple of weeks.
Hoo-wee, that sounds fun.
Yeah, I had a nice time. Went back to one of the old bases. It's not there no more, but at Utapau. It's an international airport now. But I went over there to, just hang out. These last few years, got to hang around here.
That's just fascinating.
Yeah, I went over there. But the reason I called in is because I was listening to what you're saying here about, all the things that Brother Biden has done for us, and it's a big problem. Even down here where I'm in, South Carolina, nobody knows what's going on. And I put that at the feet of Brother Jamie Harrison, because them guys need to get out here. They need to get out on the tour. And I just came up with a name while I was waiting for you to answer. Let's let them know what's going on tour, because a lot of people, they have no idea what this guy has done. And I see it out here, because I was talking to a young lady the other day. She works for Spectrum, right? And the broadband part of that bill is in action, because she was going from house to house. And I'm talking about in a real rural area out here outside of Florence. And she was going around, signing people up for that. And it's real nice, because it's like $15, $20 a month for internet service. And a lot of these folks, they need that because they don't have no access to anything. But it's going on. But a lot of people, I think the party needs to get surrogates and everybody, the congressmen, even all down in the state reps, all of them, they need to get out and do the footwork for Biden. Because other than that, people don't know. They think nothing is happening and stuff until it acts, And then some is happening to some folks, right? Check it out. It's happening to them, and they have no idea who did that, Some people running on that Trump did this, Like, come on. But we got a massive, you hear it over and over again, a messaging problem, information problem, but they need to get out there.
You're absolutely right, and it's interesting you would mention that, Clarence, because Will Bunch, who writes at the Philadelphia Inquirer, said pretty much the same thing today. He said,
"Okay, that's what I'm talking about." Yeah.
And he cited to of all people Taylor Swift, and talked about how she encouraged her people to her fans to register to vote and to get out and go vote. And what Will Bunch said,
what he said
is we've got to get everybody we got to get all the influencers that young people pay attention to from all walks of life and have big ass Woodstock level concert events and gatherings and motivate the young people to save their own asses.
Yep. He's exactly right. Cause I was thinking the same thing. Cause I was saying, the reason the information I was just at the gas station with a guy filling up gas. And it was so weird. He was asking me about, am I Eagles fan? Because I told him I was from Philly, and he's from Pittsburgh. I said, no, man, I don't really follow those sports. And I told him, I said, it's kind of funny how you talk to people. And I probably could strike up a conversation. You could tell me all the stats about the Pittsburgh Steelers, whatever. I said, I don't even follow sports like. But I said, you could run that down to me real quick. And then I hit him with this, Robin. I turned around. And I said, okay. Now that you know all that, this is the real question. I said, who's your councilman? Who's your ward leader? Who's your precinct captain? And, he looked at me in the eyes. I said, yep, that's the response from most people. And I'm saying, them the people that you should know the stats about, because those are the ones that make the decisions over your life. I said, you see that pothole out there? I said, the Pittsburgh Eagles, Pittsburgh Steelers, they're not going to fix that pothole. I said, you got to go to your state rep or your local representatives to take
true.
Action on that.
Man, and that's true. Right.
Yeah, and we got to shift the whole thing, like you said. But that's a perfect idea with the influencers. Because even when I was I'm in Thailand. Thailand is still between undeveloped and developed. Bangkok is better than larger and prettier than a lot of our cities. I mean, they got high speed rail, everything. I mean, stuff that we so far behind is ridiculous. But one thing I noticed over there was bringing their society up. they got free internet over there, man. It's like everybody has access to a phone, you know. So, I mean, I was looking, you know, going through the town and the tourist areas and all that, you know, and just everybody's head is buried into the, you know, to their phones. And I'm saying, what they're doing, they're getting information. But the question is, are they getting the right information, you know, to help their lives, or is it just, you know, a bunch of BS, you know, which most of the time is BS, you know, you're looking at a cat, you know, just eating another cat, so I don't know, crazy stuff. But still, we gotta get the message out here to everybody, man. And they got to go through, like, the Taylor Swift thing. That's a good idea. And we need to go, because most of the young folks, their attention is with entertainment. And we need to get our celebrities. Everybody need to just step up, man. But other than that, I feel so sorry for Joe Biden and what they've done, because nobody knows. They have no idea what's going on. Little bits and pieces. And people that is reaping the harvest, you know, that getting it, they still don't even know where that came from, you know.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, this is not 1933. And a fireside chat on the radio is not going to cut it.
You're exactly right. You know what's funny? I'm glad you brought that the 33. I liked that thing the other day that Biden did. And a lot of people, they don't have no idea what it is. You know, until it's still only 20,000 people, but 20,000 is better than none. But, you know, about the CCC thing, the climate core, I don't know what the acronym, I know what the acronym is, but I don't know what the words are. But it's set up like what Roosevelt did back in the 30s with the, you know, the Triple C back then. And that's a great thing, man. You know, it's jobs and getting the infrastructure and all kind of stuff together. So, but we got a serious, serious information problem, man. You got to get that information out to people. And I don't know how you do it other than, like you said, with those influencers or, you know, entertainers and stuff like that, because that's where the kids is focused, you know, when our kids, the younger generation's focus is at. So.
Well, it's no different, you know, it's no different than any other time. It's just a matter of, it's the matter of how, you know, how it happens from one generation to the next.
Oh yeah, you're exactly right. It's, what you're hitting on is it's the technology. You know, technology changed before. You're a man of a woman of history. Sorry about that.
That's
you're
okay.
A woman of history. Hey, they use bongos and drums. You know, at back
right.
In time, right or wrong, to communicate.
Signal fires.
So, and that exactly. And now we're running around with Starlink and all this stuff. And I mean, everything here is one of the things I dread now that there's nothing I could do, but I wish I was younger and had access to the information that they got today. But I was telling a little young guy, I said, there's no way anywhere you should go through school not being a straight-A student. Well, what do you mean? I said, are you kidding me? I used to have to go to the library, you know, slide through the snow. And it was crazy up there, you know, in the 60s and 70s. But now, are you kidding me? You could build a rocket with one of these damn phones if you really put your mind to it. But
that's the absolute truth. We've got computing power in our pockets that would have been beyond the wildest dreams of all the Apollo astronauts.
Yeah, I was told that these phones are more powerful than the technology that they had.
Thousands of times over.
Yeah, and it's amazing, man. And people, you know, we take the technology for granted, you know, I'll do my part, man, because when I, it's, you know, in our community, you know, I came from the city down in the country, I hang out as a little guy, got a little Jack Lay barbershop, you know, so everybody in the little town of Lamar got about 1,000 people, but you have people come from Bishopville, all these little, I know what I'm talking about, because it's straight off of 20, you know, but all the little hamlets and stuff like that. Any guys and gals come through there, and they be like, "Oh, Mr. Clarence, man, he here today, man. What you talking about?" You know, because I try to spread them as much information as I can. But
that's amazing. That's wonderful.
I try to, you know, when I'm off, that's what I do. I hang at the barbershop because that's the place, man. You know, and everybody's busy. And what I do, I shut them down and they rob them. They come in there. People come. They respect me because of my age and stuff. Because what I know. When they come in, you know, barbershop, beauty shop, people come in with the drama. You know, so-and-so did this, so-and-so. I shut that down. Right? Yo, I ain't trying to hear that stuff, man. They take that somewhere else. And it done really tamped down. Now, it done got to the point where they don't do that when they come in. But a lot of people pick up on information here because I try to share it with them. But when that girl came, that young lady came through the other day for Spectrum. And mind you, now check this. This is part of that bill. She's getting paid $20 an hour with a company car to go do this. And when I asked, I said, that Biden administration did that with the infrastructure bill. And she said, what? She just looked at me because she's working and don't even know how she got, you know, what was the connection with that job that she had. And I'm like, wow, you know, then I broke it down. She said, I had no idea. I said, yeah, he signed that bill last year for that, And she said, oh, yeah. But she said, I'm getting a lot of folks on. I said, that's good, because I said, these folks out here need that information, man, you know. And so I see it in action, and I've told other people, even on the roads out there, the bridges, you know, you see a lot of construction and stuff. And so it's kind of a little topsy-turvy out there because you got the truckers that are more MAGA-oriented. They're going to keep on pushing with their, if it wasn't for Trump, blah, blah, blah. Like, you ain't had nothing to do with that crap, you know. But them guys there, you know, they just running with their MAGA scheme. So we got to counter it. But
I'm going to ask you, I don't know how obvious this question is. By the way, you got a note in from Jude. Jude said, hearing from Clarence, a voice that aligns with our Todd and numerous others as to the clarity he brings when calling in, made my day. I'd love to hear more about his latest journey to Thailand. What a trip. Thank you, Jude.
Yeah, that was
that. But
one day I'll call in another time about that. That's very, the things went down there. It was crazy, but I had a good time on that though. But Jude, I really appreciate that. You know, I really appreciate that.
I was going to ask you though, going to the barber shop and hanging out and whatnot, there's this notion that everybody in communities of color, you know, not everybody, but you know, that it's largely pro democratic and you know, pro Biden. But are you saying that, like, where you are, you go in there and you hear black guys coming in being pro Trump?
All right. Okay. Good question. Yes. Yes. Matter of fact, I fell out with one. It was a police officer. You know, Bishopville. Yeah, Bishopville Police Department. And he come in into Trump. Because they run on what they run on. And I call them the backwoods fools. They run on this theme that the Democrats haven't done anything at all. Not just Biden. They haven't done nothing at all and stuff. And I look at his brother like, yeah, bro, you wouldn't be a police officer right now if it wasn't for the Democrat Party. But that's another story. But yeah, you'd be surprised a lot of them. But what it is, and I'm talking about, and the sad part about it, Robin, a lot of the guys is 30s and 40 years old. They follow. But you know what they're locked into? That influencers. And they get in, see what it is, I find out with that, with the social media, people get locked in, and you know this as good as I do. They lock in on what they want to hear. You know, so if somebody's spouting on there, you know, they got a podcast or, you know, a TikTok or, you know, whatever, YouTube, whatever it is, and if you can find a channel, and basically you become what I call a yes man or a yes woman to that particular person. Because everything they're saying is what you like. It might be the ideal world. And what happens is you're really living the life of the influence. Well, not living the life, but you want to live the life of that influence, even though I'll be sitting back sometime and I said, this way the critical thinking coming in, you got to take a deep dive. You got people on the other side of it. They're spouting crap that they don't even believe, you know, that they don't even know. But if they're going to get the clicks, you know, the number, because it's a numbers game, like you were saying, same thing. I was really shocked. What you really caught me when you started out with Cenk Uygur and the Young Turks, because I used to follow them years. It's been a while since I found them. And I didn't know Cenk took a turn like that. But I was listening also to what you were saying. It sounded like to me, there's some money involved with it because you always
somebody's getting that money. Somebody's getting paid.
Yeah, it ain't no way in the world. And Cenk, that's why Jim sitting here saying he's an influencer. You know, got that big, you know, thing on YouTube. He's an influencer, but he knows damn well that crap that he said, that's BS. Like Trump gonna be that dude. That's insane. But that's for the ones who believe that, you know, and I don't know what's going on over there. I haven't been over there in a while. But for him to say that, I got to do my little research. I was like, wait. But you know, it's a timeline of how he can't take. You know,
but Clarence, you're right. You know, you got to meet people where they live. And like I was talking about earlier with Virginia, if telling you know, millennials, even Gen Z, millennials, Gen Z, and Gen X, and Gen V, or whoever they are, that the Republicans are going to take away their legal weed, if that's what will get them to polls and get them to vote against Republicans, then preach that from the rooftops.
That's right. You got to go right there, you know.
Because, you know, these young people would find it absolute. They would find the idea of being arrested for possession of marijuana to just be so utterly stupid and out of touch as to be almost incomprehensible. That's the thing. You got to make them understand. They mean it. They've said it. They'll do it. And you can't gamble
right
with that.
And you exactly, and like you said, and to get that information out, right, it's got to be broken down, you know, where people really understand. But something like that, you know, like I said, I'm not in the weed game no more like I used to be, but something like that, the polls, man, you probably couldn't get in the polls like that if they pick up on it. Because, like you say, if that's going on in Virginia, and I was shocked when you taught me something there. If that's going on in Virginia, as it is up in the Northeast, you know, Philly, they got cannabis stores and everything starting to jump up. But if that's going on, you can't put that genie back in the bottle. And them young folks, they're not going to go for that. And like you said, because basically we're using the same strategy as they are. Since y'all want to scare somebody, let's scare the people on our side too, right or wrong. put a little fear in their behind and get them motivated. But I think Jamie Harrison and all of them, and all, we just need surrogates. Just get out there. And just grind this thing on home, man. You know,
I'd be curious, but maybe by the next time we talk, Clarence, you'll have been back to the barbershop. Because and if you go, I would love to hear what happens if you were to just walk in there and say, "Where the hell is Tim Scott's mystery girlfriend?"
had to go there. I had a discussion there to show you how far that went. That was on the radar over in Thailand, like I said, 2 days ago. They were discussing that over there. And the first thing I said, yeah, well, I sent you a couple of texts, I think. I don't know if you read it.
Yeah.
But I said, Tim Scott's getting ready. He's getting ready to go down to Herman Cain. That, find out the curse of shit, but that bullshit came up because that's the death note. That's the rivalry, sitting, you know, the people that. This thing and Tim ain't looking around. It's white folks. Hey, where's your girlfriend, Tim? You can't say that statement. I got a girlfriend, but she don't want to be caught up in the, you know, into the campaign. Like, that's the wrong answer, bro. When they started beating that drum about him being gay and stuff like that, he can't dig it. But then he's gonna come sit back to because y'all can't call me a ginger. No, bro, you gotta get that shit straight. And that's just my thing. He's done. He can't fly with that. I'm sure they're trying to scrounge him up a girlfriend. Instead of just, you know, don't get it twisted. We got somebody on the outside, like Brother Booker, Senator Booker's like that, you know. For a hot minute, he ran out because, you know, they were throwing that gay thing at him, but he won the seat. But he ran out there real quick, and he started messing with Rosario Dawson. And she was on his hip for a while there, but now all of a sudden she disappeared from the scene. And you know, I don't give a damn if he's gay or not. I don't care. That's his business.
Right, but the thing is, you're no Clarence. You're no Republican. You're no Republican.
Right.
Being anything other than arrow straight to the Republican Party is that's the end of your career.
Yeah,
I mean, Tim Scott goes swanning out with his boyfriend's hand in his hand. It's over. same with Miss Lindsey.
They'd have built some gallows for his ass if he did that. They'd have built some gallows. What are you talking about, bro? No.
That's a Republican thing. That's
just chasing the money.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily a black-white issue because, you know, Well, I don't know. Maybe it is. If Lady G ever comes out, because I've been told time and time again that it's an open secret down in South Carolina that Lindsey Graham is gay. And
right.
And people are okay with it as long as he's closeted. You know, don't be putting that stuff in our face. But, you know, you can put the heterosexuality in somebody's face all the time. But if he came out, he'd probably be toast too. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also transactional too. Don't you get up on the street. But we also need to also do policy against gays and, you know, and other marginalized groups. And, you know, since he's been in office. Which is despicable, man. I don't know how them care. Well, I take that, but I always say that. I don't know how they. It's always what, Rob? Money.
It's a good dollar.
That money.
I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. In the Republican Party, hate is always going to be a good dollar.
Yes, sir. I mean, this man, they get paid. They get paid big dollars for that. But it was good talking to you. Like I said, I'm gonna call in again, and I'll give y'all a rundown on that during.
I want to hear all of it, Clarence. I want to hear about all of it. the food alone has me my taste buds are just.
It's amazing because Sparky. Sparky and what's the brother out of Texas name? He was over in Utapau at the same time.
Oh, yeah, John Bredevo. Yeah.
What's his name? John, we were all over the same. We didn't know each other, but I was over the same time with them. But 50 years, man, just 50 years ago when I left there. And it's amazing how the money that, you know, and I guess I was telling them, I said, yeah, this is American investment. You know, I was over here using your bases to kill people over Vietnam. We was, building, investing in talent. They got super highways. Like I said, they're high speed. It's amazing. Because when I was over there, it was like dirt streets, you know, and it was still third world. But they teeter on that, the third world and the first world, you know. You go to Bangkok, the big city, they're thriving, but still out in, you know, the hinterlands and stuff like that. It's still, mostly rural and stuff. But they're coming along. Great investment. And I got to say, what an ally, because they love them so much. But the thing over there, it's really not us. Like, they're making money off the Europeans. And here's the other little here that I'm seeing. When I was over there, the Indian brothers and sisters, they had the foothold in there. They were in the economy. They was under the economy over there. But now, I thought it would be the Chinese that moved in, but it's the Koreans. They got a foothold. They got a foothold in Thailand, Indonesia, the Philippines,
it's probably not something you're aware of, but I'm sure that the amount of money measures in the tens of millions of dollars that flow into Thailand from my community. Trans women going there because those are some of the most elite gender confirmation surgeons in the entire world. I mean, they are revered not as surgeons and physicians, but as freaking artists.
I didn't know that, but I know there's I can't say a presence because the people live there, but still and the thing about it, they interact, you know, and everybody, there's no problem over there. You know what I'm saying? There's no problem. It's just weird because they got cold. They were dedicated bars. I put it like that for those
lady boy lady people, over there. Yeah, they call them lady boys.
What's the name? Damn, I forgot the guy's name.
Yeah, lady.
Because I let me tell you, because I know we run out of time. I had a little encounter, and this was damn like 50 years ago young man then. I was 22. But anyway, downtown partying, you know, drinking the liquor, smoking the weed over there, you know, just wasted, you know. And I was dancing with this young lady, and back then, you get to go. When the club closed. Anyway, I goes home and everything, and then I found out, I pulled somebody that was trans. And man, at my shop, I didn't do with the normal GI. They would end up beating them and all that old crap. I was like, no, I'm all right, you know. And what I did, I just gave her the money and kept on going. But that was my first time. And I used to tell, hey, Bob, this might going to be a little graphic, but you folks are grown. When she pulled her pants down, right, she hadn't had an operation yet. And I said, dang, your shit bigger than mine.
Oh, no. No.
Yeah, I'm not lying. I was so, and this was a tie. So I told all the other people, you know, because you they had, you know, the stereotype that the Asians are small. I said, no, they ain't.
Oh, no. Everybody's seen that one scene in Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah,
I don't have to say anymore.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
It was so.
I didn't know it was going to go in this direction. But Clarence, it's so good hearing from you. You take care, and I hope we hear from you again. I want to hear all about this trip.
Yeah, I'm gonna call you back and tell you about that. Yeah, it was very interesting over there.
I can imagine.
The place with my old ass over there. But the people, I put it like this: I represented America. They love me over there. Like this guy's all right. So. But I'll tell you about that a little bit later then, all right?
All right, you take care, Clarence. By the way, Clarence, you got a note in from Reverbo out in Colorado, and he said, go, Clarence. What a great caller. So.
Yeah. I'll bring y'all the date on that one.
All right.
Y'all don't have to sit down there when I tell you some of the stuff that I did over there.
You take care. Have a good
all
night,
right,
Clarence.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
All right, same to you.
Clarence. Formerly of Philadelphia, now South Carolina, globe-trotting world traveler recently returned from Thailand. I imagine there were some adventures. It really, we got a punchline at the end. Reverbo said, it really has become this ironic tragedy that the biggest impediment to an informed electorate is the mass media. How the hell do we beat that? I remember you called Murdoch as evil a human being that ever lived, and that is absolutely right, him and his ilk. Yeah, I'm not going to back off of that. I mean, in terms of overall effect and destroying comity and collegiality and just downright neighborliness in the United States, no one. Yeah, some of the other evil fuckers, they actually brought us together. Rupee has managed to divide us more than we have been since at least 1860. And that's saying something. Good to hear from you, Reverbo. Maybe one of these days you'll call back in. That'd be great. We haven't had an epic conversation in a while. So that's the program. Day one of Larry and Liberalville's amazing challenge is in the books and met. We got to raise $200 tomorrow, $200 on Wednesday, $200 Thursday, and $200 Friday, and we will finish September to the good. And there will be much rejoicing and bill paying. So thank you for the challenge, and thanks to everybody who responded. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors and people who respond to the challenges. Thank you all so, so much. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Roger moderating in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, like and subscribe to the program. Like every episode. Subscribe. Talk about it on social media if you get on social media. Because we amplify each other's voices that way. Leave a comment on the podcast platform. You know, sometimes human beings see it too, and they might actually tune in and go, oh, wow, this is good. We should push this. And maybe little seeds can grow. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia at a proud union shop. Unions are the way to go. Please stay safe. or your masks, even if you're not around maggots, if you're just around a bunch of people you don't know, but especially if you're around the maggots. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer. Carry something with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance as best you can. And if a bleach blonde lady who looks a lot like the display of a Neanderthal woman in a museum in France walks towards you carrying a menorah and saying, happy Kipper snacks, well, avoid the Jewish face laser lady like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Love you, Wayne. Later.